Hello, and welcome to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. Join us as we dive into God's Word and grow together as we strive to love God, love people, and make disciples.
So what we're going to be talking about this morning is how God is more than enough. I don't know about you, but when I have biscuits, I like to have gravy with it. When I have tea, I like to have some sugar in it. I'm a Southern boy. So sometimes we have to have an accompaniment to what we have. And unfortunately, sometimes we do that with Jesus. Sometimes we think Jesus needs a little more. He needs a little help, but he's more than enough. I'm so thankful to have my parents here with me today. They came all the way just to hear me talk for a few minutes. Isn't it great to have a great support system? Yeah. And by them being here today, you're probably thinking they really love him. They care for him. They do for him. But that's not always true. Last weekend, they went to Disney World alone. That's not godly. I mean, what would Jesus do? But then I didn't feel bad because one time Jesus' mom and dad left him too. So I was like, I'm in good company. I'm just like Jesus. So pray for them because they need help because they should have. I'm an only child. It's not like they had to take 10 of them. It's just me. I mean, don't even talk to me. They put me in the back. I got earphones. They don't have to. But they went. Then they start posting the retirement life. I think that's rubbing in people's face. I don't think that's humility. I think they really need the message today is what I'm saying. I'm glad they're here because they go to Disney World without their children. That's, I don't know if that's one of the Ten Commandments or not, but I think it's bad. As we read the psalm, I want you to know, and you probably guys know this because you've been going through the book. I just wrote a book, Pastor Nolan, about David, his life. David was an amazing warrior. I'm talking about a great king. Many would say the best king Israel ever had. A great warrior, great king, but he was a horrible father and a horrible husband. Many times we celebrate someone's talents. We celebrate how well they do at work. They're the number one sales leader in sports. They're the best coach. Or they sell lumber and they sold more. They build houses and they're doing a great job. But we should be celebrating people who win at home. There's a lot of award shows for the best musicians and the best actors and the best athletes. They have all these award shows. And they say the Academy Award goes to. Or they say that the nominees are. We should have a show for the best grandmother. We should have a show for the best aunt. We should have a show for that single mom that stayed home and made it happen and didn't find an excuse. We should have a show for that dad that never misses a game. We should have that show. The best grandmother award goes to from Athens, Georgia. Like, we should have that show. And so we're talking about David. And what's great about this is David knows that God is more than enough and he still sometimes falls. And so if you find yourself in that lane where you know God is more than enough, but sometimes you fall, you're in good company. You're in the company of a man after God's own heart. An amazing young fella. An awesome guy, but not a perfect gentleman. He failed at home. I don't know about you, but I want to win at home. Wouldn't it be a shame to be a great evangelist, to be a great pastor, to be a great coach, but lose at home? Wouldn't it be a shame to be a great governor, a great president, a great lawyer, a great mayor, but to lose at home? We know your real success by talking to your wife or your husband. We know your real success by talking to your children. That's when we know the real success. When I stop by your house and you treat me like a king because I'm a guest, you give me the guest chair and you run to the refrigerator to get me something to eat. But when I leave and your husband say, honey, can you get me a Coke? You say, you got two legs, get your own Coke. But you treat me like it's Chick-fil-A. My pleasure. My pleasure. It's my pleasure. We often treat strangers better than we treat the own people in our home. We often take people in our house for granted. I want to encourage you today to realize that God is more than enough. And like David, we want to make sure we win, not just as a soldier at our job, but we want to win at home. And David failed in that area. As we read Psalm chapter 16, this is 11 verses. We're going to read it in its entirety. It's so good. Like you could spend a month just on this chapter. It's so good. It starts out, preserve me, O God, for in thee I do put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness exceedeth not to thee. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, the sorrows shall be multiplied that hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Verse 5 says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance in my cup. Thou manifest my lot. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly inheritance. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let us pray. Lord, thank you again for this great church. We pray that your Holy Spirit reigns today. Lord, I pray you exceed the expectations of this church. Its leader, Pastor Wood, has this great vision, not just for a facility, but for lives to be changed in the community to look like you. I pray you blow his mind. I pray you blow our minds today and speak like only you can. Lord, I pray that you show up and you show out, that the words of my mouth be accepted in your sight at this time. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you understand how important it is what Aaron is doing with those little children. Statistics say only 30% of families go to church on a regular basis right now. Statistics say if the father doesn't go to church, almost no one in the house is going to go to church. But if the father goes to church, there's a 93% chance that the whole body, the whole room, the whole house will go. How important is that? How is my daughter going to find a godly man if I don't put her in church every Sunday? How is my son going to know what a godly man looks like if I don't model that for him? It's so important. You want to know how to fix our country? You want to know how to fix our town, how to fix our city? It's Jesus Christ. It's really that simple. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be upset when we get to heaven and realize there's no sections. There's no denominational sections. There's no political sections. There's no have and have not sections. There's two sections. The saved folks are going up and the people who aren't saved are going down. Yeah, so I'm not in church today because I'm perfect. I'm in church today because I'm forgiven. This is the spot I need to be in. This is where I need to hang out. Many of us know people who talk real good, who love Jesus, who post about Christ, have no church membership. Can you really be a Georgia Bulldog fan if you've never, ever, ever went to one game? Really? And if you're a Georgia Tech fan, we're going to pray for you at the end of service. We're going to have guys, we're going to have you come down. I'm just kidding. To both of you who are here, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I want to break down the book of Psalm real quick. We know it's in the Old Testament. We know that. Some theologians believe it's the new Torah. You know, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis and Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So what happens is they believe these next five books, Psalms is broken up in five books, is the next Torah. A lot of people believe Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. It's actually not. Jeremiah has more words if you go back to the original Hebrew. But more chapters is in Psalm, 150 chapters. Psalm 119 is so long that if you read it, church, y'all would leave. Y'all would just go and start going out. It's time to go eat. It's super long. But Psalm 117 is only two words. This book is just so interesting. It has seven authors. The main author is David, who wrote 73 of these psalms or the poems that will change around to what we have today. David was so talented. He could sing and he could play the harp. He can write songs. Today he'll be a Renaissance man. He'll be all over television. He'll have his own podcasts. But what I want us to see today is David knew in his heart of hearts that God was more than enough. What are you chasing this morning? Are you chasing money? Are you chasing fame? Are you chasing material things? Are you chasing prestige, status? Did you say this morning, how come Pastor Nolan didn't mention me? I did this. I volunteered here. How come I didn't get to come up and talk about my group? Does he know I'm the one that vacuumed? I'm the one that came and opened up. I don't want to turn the air on. How come he never talks about me? That's the wrong attitude. There are two positions. There's a position of being exalted and a position of being humbled. There are two spots. The Bible says those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. What I've learned is if I exalt myself, God says, okay, Spears, you've already exalted yourself. I was going to do that, but since you've already done it, I guess I'll humble you. Since you've already taken that job, I'm going to do this job. But if I humble myself, God says, well, you did your part. Now let me do my part. And I don't know how high you think you can exalt yourself. You can't exalt yourself higher than God can. God has things for us that's going to blow our mind. He has ministry for us to do. And in this 16th Psalm, what we find out is that if we run the wrong way, if we run to evil, our troubles will be doubled. As we look down and as a smart folks, like your pastor says, we exegete the text. I watched some of his sermons and wrote down some vocabulary words. As we break down verse 1, it's so good. The first thing that we learn is that God is our refuge. God is our refuge. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we should not fear. Though the earth be removed, nor the mountain be carried to the midst of the sea. In Panama City, we have hurricanes. Hurricane Michael tore our city up 3 years ago. We still have not recovered. I was doing some recovery work last Saturday with a bunch of volunteers. Usually in Panama City, Pastor, when they say it's a hurricane coming, people say, I've lived here my whole life. They always say it's going to be bad. It's not going to be that bad. It's a category 3. I'm not leaving my home. It's a category 4. I'm not going anywhere. It's a category 5. I don't care. It's not going to be that bad. They always say that. And it turns at the last minute. This time, it came right through us. And so now, when it starts sprinkling, everybody said, let's go. It's time to go. Everybody, let's go. Let's go. Mom is only sprinkling. I don't care. Get in the car. We're going to Georgia. Let's go right now. What's going to have to happen in your life for you to take God serious? What's going to have to happen? Does a hurricane have to come through your life figuratively for you to take God serious? He's not playing. He's a just and fair God, and we should fear him. My dad's 71 years old. I'm scared of him right now, Pastor. I'm dead serious. When he come in, I straighten up. I stopped posting videos because he ain't like him. He ain't like all the videos being posted. That should be a healthy fear for God, a healthy respect for God. But we take advantage of God's grace. He's going to forgive me. He knows my heart. The Bible says out of the heart, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're mean and hateful. I didn't mean that. Well, it came out of your heart according to the word. We have to be careful what we allow to come into our minds because it's going to come out of our mouth. Garbage in, garbage out. The music we listen to, the people we hang around, what we watch on television. Satan is the prince of the air. So we sit there all day and watch SportsCenter. We sit there all day and watch CNN or Fox. We sit there all day and watch soap operas. What we're doing is saying, God, I don't have time for your word. I have time for this entertainment. And that's going to stick in our brain. God wants us to spend less time on Facebook and more time in his book. God wants us to lock in with him. God is jealous. And what God told me, God said, Willie, I'm sick of sharing time with everything else. You want to listen to the word when you're driving. You want to listen to the word when you're exercising. How come you just can't come and just sit and listen to the word by yourself? God wants my undivided attention. God doesn't want to share me with the treadmill. And there's nothing wrong with that, but God wants me to set aside time. He's so important that I just focused on him. Could you imagine having a conversation with somebody and they're looking at the phone the whole time? Hey, how you doing, man? I'm doing good, man. How are you? That tells you you're not very important. They got one headphone in. You know how y'all young people do, this little white AirPod thing. I got two kids, same age as y'all. I'm saying, hey, come here. They like this. Yeah, what's up, Dad? Take that out of your ear and look me in my eyes. You know, and they shouldn't have those things. But grandparents. I'm just speaking facts. I'm an only child. My wife, only child. The grandparents try to outdo each other. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. You know, I really thought my dad was a disciplinarian. Now, grandkids. My son mowed the grass, lines all crooked, everything wrong. He takes 20 breaks, mows one row, come in, get a whole glass of lemonade. I'm so tired, so tired. I never got lemonade when I mowed the grass, and I never got paid. My son gets paid. And then my dad said, hey, go out there and fix what your son messed up. Am I getting paid? You ain't getting no money. Then your son getting the money. Grandparents are not evil, but they like the grandkids better than they like the kids. Let me just say that. I heard a couple of amens out there. So when we realize the magnitude of God and the Holy Spirit, what we got to know is being in the presence of God is where we want to be. Pastor preached a sermon, I think last Sunday or the Sunday before, he talked about Obed-Edom, and he talked about the Ark of the Covenant. And he talked about David didn't know what to do for a while. But where they seen Obed-Edom's house is being blessed. So it's like, why are they being blessed? Because of the Spirit. Because of the presence of God. See, when you're in the presence of God, some things you don't want to do. Huh? When you were little, some things you didn't do around your mom or your dad. Some of you knew mom's mean, dad's nice, or vice versa. So certain parents you can get away with certain things with. When you're in the presence of God, it changes your behavior. It changes how you talk, how you act, how you treat people. When I walked in here today, when I was even in the parking lot, everybody was so nice, like overly nice. How you doing? It's good to see you. God bless you. Good morning. That says a lot about your leadership. I've been to churches where they don't even speak to you, and then they find out you're the speaker, and now they want to speak to you. That tells you who they really are. I want to encourage you to know that God is our refuge and our strength. We need to run to God. We need to go to He is everything we need. We don't need to add a little salt to God. Can I get a lemon with that? No, not with God. He's enough. My daddy orders Arnold Palmer. The sweet tea, not good. We got to put a little lemonade with it. When it comes, look, amen, I like it. When it comes to God, we try to help him out. He's more than enough. Our problem is we're impatient. He doesn't move fast enough for us. As we look at the scripture, chapter 1 and 2 talks about him being our refuge and our strength. Only God can offer us the safety that we need. We often look to other places. Verse 3 and 4 says, when we chase things other than God. Verse 3 says, when we chase idols, our trouble will be multiplied. That scares me. It says in verse 3 and 4, when we chase idols, when we chase other gods, our trouble will be multiplied. So in other words, when you become a believer, some people think there's going to be no more trouble. Well, it's going to be some trouble, but now you have Jesus with you. So you remember the story of the disciples on the boat. Jesus was asleep in the middle of the storm, and they woke him up. If you have Jesus on board in your life, expect a storm. If Jesus is riding with you, expect a storm. I believe Jesus allows a storm because Jesus wants to show out on your behalf. Jesus wants to show out. Jesus wants to be the highlight. Jesus is jealous. Jesus wants your attention. Jesus appears to be asleep because if you've ever been in school, and we all have, the teacher is silent during the test. The teacher doesn't talk during the test. It seemed like God is not listening to your prayers. It seemed like God is not near. No, God is there, but he's silent because it's a test of your faith. It's easy to say, I love Jesus when you got a good job and the money's coming in. But what about when COVID hits and you're laid off and they say, we're going to give you your benefits, but we're not going to be able to pay you any money. Is he still a good God? Are you still saying God is good all the time? Are you still saying I'm blessed and highly favored? Are you still saying he's a great God? See, a lot of us, we treat God like an ATM machine. We only go to the ATM machine when we want something. Nobody hangs out at the ATM machine. You only go when you want something. Some of us only call pastor when we want something. Some of us only pray when we want something. Could you imagine the angels, Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael saying, oh, his spirit's praying. He must want some God. He ain't prayed in months. I forgot what his voice sounds like. We take advantage of God's grace. Shame on us. Imagine if when we got saved, we got a little bitty vial of God's, of Jesus' actual blood. Imagine if you got saved and they said, here you go, this is for your forgiveness. There's a droplet. Every time you sin, pour a little bit out. We'd run out in one day. Before we get out of church, I can't believe I had that thought. She should not be singing. She cannot sing. Why is she up there singing? Okay, there's three drops. What? There's three drops. Many of us walk around like we have a water tower full of God's blood. Just use it all up. So what that you was beat for me, God? So what they ripped skin off your back? So what you had a crown of thorns in your head? So what that you did nothing wrong but you're punished for me? Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? We want to get people back. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. So let him handle it. Forgive that person. Don't run to evil. Verses 3 and 4 said, if we run to evil, our trouble will be multiplied. Could you imagine taking your car in for an oil check and they say, we found a problem with your engine? What? The oil check was going to be $50. My engine? Yes, only going to be $5,000 though before labor. No, I don't multiply my trouble. I want a second opinion. I'm going to another shop. The Bible says right here that our trouble will be multiplied. The Bible says in John 16:33, you will have trouble in this life. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My grandmother used to tell me, baby, get an umbrella. I say, Grandma, it's like 98 degrees. I mean, it's sunny today. The very wise weatherman said it's not going to rain. He's always right. She's like, no, baby, get an umbrella. Wise people prepare for the future. Wise people have a plan in case something happens. That's why we have insurance in case something happens. Do you have a plan? There's a guarantee. Pastor told me that there was a funeral this weekend. You're going to have a funeral or you're going to see God crack the sky. Those are two options. Do you have a plan? Or are we just waking up and going to bed? Is there a plan? This is all going to end one day. You start out like a little cute baby back there. That's how all of us used to be like that, cute. And then you turn to a teenager like my kids. Not cute anymore. Not cute. They think they're cute. They're not cute. Then they're going to be 20-something. Really not cute. We're trying to get them out of the house. They want to stay in the house. Really not cute. But as we grow and we grow and we grow, we must have a plan. Smart people have a plan for the future. Many of us right now, if I ask you, what do you get when you go to Subway? You could tell me right now the kind of bread you get, lettuce, tomato, toasted, non-toasted, what kind of meat. We have a plan for a sandwich, but do we have a plan for our life? And do we have a plan for our children's lives and our children's life? The day my son and daughter gave their life to Christ, I felt like I could retire, Pastor. I was like, we're good. Like that was the only reason we had them, right, Lord? We're good. A few years later, my son made a C in a class. My wife says she's the academia in the family. Geek squad, glasses, front row. Did you read the chapter last night? I read the chapter and the four more chapters. That's my wife. He got a C. My wife goes crazy. I can't believe he got a C. I can't believe this boy got a C. We're going to take everything out of his room, everything except the bed. He gonna, matter of fact, take the bed spring out. He's going to sleep on the mattress on the floor. He does not deserve anything. Is there any way to turn the air conditioner off in his room only? Now, I can't believe he made a C. I can't believe. I said, baby, relax. It's just a C. She said, oh, this doesn't bother you? It doesn't bother you? He made a C. It doesn't bother you? I said, baby, he got saved. Like, he going to heaven. Who cares? He got a C. Like, he got saved. Like, really? He going to be facing God. Like, what about that C in sixth grade, Kenneth? Like, it's not going to come up. Unfortunately, he heard me, and he always used that now. I said, you turn your homework in? Dad, I got saved, remember? Good on all this homework. I'm going to be in heaven, streets of gold, mansions. I don't need all this. We should have a plan. Are you reading the word with your family? Are you praying for the prodigals in your family? Wouldn't it be embarrassing to be in line going up to heaven and your uncle, your niece, your nephew, who you hadn't prayed for, is standing next to you and they're nervous because they don't know if they're going to make it in? God assigned you to pray over their soul. Not pastor, he's not in their life. God assigned you. When the prodigal came home, the father ran to him. The father was like, ooh, he was looking out every day. Are you looking out every day for those in your circle that aren't saved? Are you looking out every day? Are you talking bad about them? Look what they posted on Facebook. They ought to be ashamed. They say they're a Christian. I can't believe they like that post. We should be loving on them. It's so easy to forget that we're not perfect. We're forgiving. We don't have it all together. We just accept that God's grace because he emptied heaven out for us. Verse 5 and 6 tells us that God is our inheritance. God alone is enough. So it's kind of a, David is writing, saying like David is writing basically saying what everyone wants back then is your inheritance. Now the prodigal son was basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead so I can get my inheritance. Like, I don't want to wait for what you have for me. I want it right now. Now remember, David was the youngest, so David wasn't getting an inheritance. He was the youngest. He was the ruddy one. He was the one that Jesse was like, nah, he's a nobody. He's nothing. But he's the one that God used the most. He is our inheritance, and nothing else can take his place. Verse 7 and 8 tells us that this is a prophetic psalm, that we have safety in him and we have blessings in him. Why? Because Jesus rose. Now, what's really amazing about this, and when I talked to Pastor Nolan, he was talking and he said, yeah, we're in Psalm. You can do that or you can preach on something else. And when he said 16, I was like, that's one of the best Psalms. Like, are you going to let me get that one? Like when the first thing I thought about Peter, and I think it's Acts chapter 2, verse 30 and 31. Peter talks about this Psalm and 3,000 people are saved. Peter's first message, you know, Peter's a rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Peter's first sermon, he used this manuscript, this passage, these verses, and that one day over 3,000 people were saved, proving that God is more than enough. Psalm 16 promises we will share eternal life with him, and being with Jesus in heaven is enough. People often talk about what's heaven going to be like. All you need to know is you're going to be with Jesus. Is it going to be up? Is it going to be down? Is it post-tribulation, pre-tribulation? You're going to be with Jesus. To not be with Jesus is to be in hell. That's all you need to know. It doesn't matter. Like, remember when you're a little baby, little kid, you want to be with your mama. It doesn't matter if it's a grocery store, paying a light bill. You just want mama. I want mama. I want my. Like, being with Jesus, being in the presence of God is more than enough. That's heaven. And to be apart from him is the opposite of heaven. I want to be with him. This psalm also lets us know that we need prayers and we need praises and we need to be confident in what God has given us. David fully depended on God. David's one of the only people in the Bible that we just knew all his sins. Like, we knew the greatest thing he did, kill Goliath, but we knew about Bathsheba, we knew about the showbread. I mean, we knew all these things. His son did some unforeseen things with his stepdaughter, and then his other son killed, like, all these crazy things. But he had a deep, repentant heart. So much so he would rip his clothes off. His wife was embarrassed. This is the only wife he had. He had seven wives. Only wife he had that he didn't have children with. She's embarrassed that he's dancing and praising God. She's embarrassed. Some of us are married. We're embarrassed that our spouse shares so much of their faith. And it should be the opposite. We should be embarrassed when they don't share their faith. What's your reputation in the community? Do people know you're a child of God? Do they know you go to Life Church? When someone in your neighborhood is hurting, they should run to your doorstep. They say, they go to Life Church. I know they can get a prayer through. They love Jesus. We're going over to their house. We don't go to church, but we know they do. Or do they say they always look down on us because we don't go to church? They talk about us because we don't go to church. Unfortunately, the church, we have a bad name in the community. When you ask someone, tell me about your Christian friend, they don't say, oh, they're so loving. They're so kind. They're so gentle. They're so patient. They're so meek. They say they're so judgmental. They're so hateful. They think they're better than us. That's the total opposite of Jesus. Jesus loved everybody. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. When I was young, they had a song, Like Mike. It's a commercial. If I could be like Mike, old Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan can't even be like Mike now because he's 60-something years old. Yeah. This body don't last forever. I got a friend getting hip surgery next week. I got another friend I was with this weekend. He got two new hips. He said, man, these things are great, man. I love these things. Yeah, the body's going to break down. You will have trouble. Who are you going to call when the trouble comes in your body? Who are you going to call? You can't call Ghostbusters. That's not real. Who are you going to call? Pastor Nolan may be busy. He may not be able to help you. Hope you got Jesus. Hope you got him. Hope you know his number. Isn't it frustrating to want to get a hold of someone but don't know the number? Huh? You can't call on Jesus if he don't know you. See, a lot of us know about Jesus. We Wikipedia and we looked him up. We Googled him. But you only get to know someone by having a relationship with them, spending time with them. Are we spending time with Jesus? He wants your time. The same way you was all googly-eyed over that loved one of your life, he wants that from you. He wants you to wake up in the morning and think of him. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to talk to him throughout the day. He's jealous, and sin stinks in his nostrils. If there's no conviction when we sin and there's no fruit from our walk, we have to question our salvation. If you can be mean to someone that doesn't bother you, you can be hateful and it doesn't bother you. You can sit in a company of people being disrespectful and it doesn't bother you. You may need to check and see if you really have what you say you have. I know I'm not worthy. I don't measure up. But he's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. When Peter preached that message at Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved, and he talked about this psalm, what came to my mind was how we constantly need to be reminded that Jesus is more than enough. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us that God alone is our Savior. It tells us that we'll have less trouble if we run to God and not run to idols. We don't have to run to Satan. We don't have to go to the church of Satan. When we run to idols, when you have an issue, what friend do you call first? His name should be Jesus. Your friend is going to give you a common sense answer. I remember when I was sneaking, I was about to get married. We've been married 18 years. And I remember asking my friend, I said, man, you know what? I feel like God telling me she the one. My friend, who's a believer, says, man, y'all should live together first. You can figure it out. If y'all live together, then you'll know. Like, what if she don't put the toothpaste, the top on the toothpaste? Huh? So you won't know that. What if she snore real bad? So you won't know that. He's giving me what sounds like common sense advice. Somebody else in our family, a grown-up, or somebody older, a relative said, well, y'all should live together. It'll save money. Be just one, y'all pay rent for one person pay rent. One light bill, one water bill, one sinful life. See, we compromise because it feels good. Pastor, I was at a church in Oklahoma, and the youth pastor was living with the woman that wasn't his wife. Because we compromise. He sang good, and they were good people, and they were nice. And if you're being convicted right now, it's okay. I live in Panama City. I'm not coming back for a long time. They're between you and God. But I'm just telling you the truth. We have a standard, and the standard is Jesus. And he doesn't change. We're the one changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a plan for your life. And the people in your life that don't know Jesus, you're their Jesus. You're the measuring stick. So whatever you do, they feel that's what Christians do. Or when Christians get mad, they curse people out. When Christians get cut off in traffic, they flip people off. When Christians get upset, they roll their eyes and suck their teeth. When Christians feel like they're done wrong, they go behind their boss's back and take things. You're the measuring stick. See, I can't flip you off because these aren't my fingers. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. I can't do what I want to do. I can't go where I want to go. I can't even watch what I want to watch. I can't even listen to what I want to listen to. These aren't my ears. These aren't my eyes. I can't roll God's eyes when you make me mad. These eyes belong to him. I've been bought with a price. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going because I accepted him. In closing, I want to remind you that if we focus on God being enough, we don't have to worry about anything else. I once read somewhere, you either worry or pray. You can't do both. Are you going to worry or are you going to pray? John 16:33. You will have trouble. Psalm 16:3-4. If you run to idols, if you run to other people for advice, if you run to materialistic things, you run to money, your trouble will be multiplied. It doesn't even say double. It says multiply. This is not me. This is the word. And if we had time, we'd focus on verse 10 and 11. That are just so rich. But what I want to leave you with is I want to let you know that what are you going to do? Have a plan for when trouble comes. If it's going to rain, have an umbrella. My father had cancer a few years ago. When he told me no football play was going to fix that, no accolades, I called somebody that I know. Since you know you're going to have trouble, go ahead and get Jesus now. Like, you know, hey, it's going to rain. I'm telling you, it's going to rain. Get Jesus now. Spend time with him now. Build that equity up, if you will, now. Don't wait till the rain comes to look for an umbrella. The parable of the five and the five wise and five foolish virgins. Don't wait till it's too late. If you're a believer, but you haven't been living it, if you're on Team Jesus, but you've been on the bench, I encourage you to volunteer. I encourage you to start giving. I encourage you to start showing up. I encourage you to start reading your word. You're valuable on this team. Christ picked you. God gave up everything for you. If this was the NFL draft, he gave up everything. He emptied heaven. He gave his best for you. And so after my father had cancer, that should be enough, right? I'm just one guy. Lord, let us get through that. We're good. Then my teenage daughter get diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Lost 20 pounds in 1 week. You better know Jesus. Then a year later, my son gets diagnosed with Crohn's disease. He was 14 years old, weighed 66 pounds. They thought he had cancer. You better know Jesus. I can go on and on. And I'm not telling this for a pity party. I'm telling you, I'm 43 years old, and I've been through enough already. But if I didn't have Jesus, I'd still be in the storm. But when you have Jesus, you just got to nudge him and wake him up. And as he yawns and stretches his arms out, and you feel like you're about to die, he just says, peace, be still. And you was in a frantic, you was in a panic, and all of a sudden you look around and everything's okay. My son was so sick, he didn't want to go outside. He was embarrassed how frail he was. Imagine we lived in an upstairs and a downstairs house, and imagine him sleeping in the living room on the couch, falling asleep every night. And imagine one night I pick him up and I walk him upstairs. He wakes up the next morning. He's looking around like, how did I get up here? I went to sleep in the living room. How did I get up here? And imagine him coming to our room saying, Dad, like, how did I get upstairs? I say, son, while you were asleep, I picked you up and I walked you upstairs. Now, I could have walked him downstairs to the basement, but I walked him upstairs to his room. When you fall asleep and that death angel comes, are they going to walk you upstairs or are they going to walk you downstairs? You won't have time to wake up and make a decision. You got to make the decision before you fall asleep. When Jesus comes to pick you up, is he going to walk upstairs with you? Or is he going to walk downstairs? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I want to encourage you to be all in with the Lord, who's more than enough. You don't need that person. You don't need that job. You don't need that money. You don't need that car. You don't need that neighborhood. You don't need that house. You need Jesus. And Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, then all these things will be added unto us. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now. Let's thank you so much for speaking a simple message this morning, that you are more than enough. Lord, thank you for David writing that psalm and reminding us that you are more than enough. Lord, may we not run to trouble. Lord, may we not run to evil. May our trouble not be multiplied. Lord, may we find refuge in you. May we not look for safety in a relationship or safety in money or safety in a job. Lord, the pandemic showed us that you're in control. Storms show us that you're in control. Man has no clue what's going to happen next, but you do. Lord, may we fall in love with you all over again. Lord, may our life, our behavior, our actions speak loud and clear that we are followers of Christ. Lord, not our mouth, but our actions. And Lord, if there's someone here that don't know you, we pray that they get to know you. We pray, Lord, that not just with our salvation, but in our life, we depend completely on you. Not our talents, not our abilities, not our name. May we depend completely on you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, I pray we have the courage to apply the message to our life and that we not look for anything to substitute what you have already given us. May we walk with great joy and great peace as we praise the Almighty God, for he is more than enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. For more information about our church, including service times and ministry opportunities, check out our website at lifechurchofathens.com and follow us on social media at LifeChurchATH.